Good.
Mr. Thompson, good afternoon. Once again, would you state your name and your ADC number for the record?
My name is Marshall Thompson, 154-785.
Thank you, sir. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yeah, I have a little trouble hearing.
Okay, well, we'll do the best we can. Hopefully, we'll come through. Okay, sir. You're here for your hearing regarding the two allegations on your warrant. Today, this is your revocation hearing, and according to information that we have, you was notified of this hearing by on November the 16th, 2017. Do you remember that notification, 2017? Do you remember that notification, sir?
Yes, sir.
And it stated, among other things, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see a lawyer in the room today, therefore may I assume that you will be representing yourself, sir?
Yes, sir.
I would state that we do have three individuals who are present also, two in the room and one by telephone, and we will be talking to them just a little later as well. But as you can see, there are four board members participating in your hearing this afternoon, and let me just introduce them to you. To my extreme right, which is your left, is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. And next to me on my right, your left, is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. To my left, your right, that would be the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as your panel chair as well as board chair. We also have in the room today with us the gentleman that you should be able to see now, and that is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Okay, now I am going to swear all of you in, so let me... I believe that we have Mr. Wilhelm on the phone, and we have the two others. What are your names? Just your names right now.
Justin Reefer.
Julian.
Okay. Do the two of you, Mr. Wilhelm, and of course you, Mr. Thompson, and you, Mr. Osborne, do all of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I do, sir.
Thank you so very much. As I indicated, sir, you have two allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read these allegations, and would you tell me whether they are true, false, or you can take the fifth. And the reason we give you the option of taking the fifth is we do take note that there is a DR number listed on your warrant, which we do not know the results of that as of this moment. But in case it has not been resolved and it has to go to court, in the judiciary system, prosecutor or your defense could request a copy of this recording. This hearing is being recorded. Therefore, once again, once I read these allegations, true, false, or you can plead the fifth, you don't want to talk about it, and they will not be mentioned again during this hearing. Do you understand, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, allegation number one. Reads that you are in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on October the 3rd, 2017 in Maricopa County, Arizona. Sir, is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth?
It's false.
False? Okay, thank you, sir. The next one reads that you are in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of alcohol, ETG, on October the 10, 2017, per the task layout report dated October 11, 2017. Sir, is that one true, false, or do you plead the fifth?
Yes, sir, it's true.
Thank you, sir. At this time, since you say allegation number 1 is false, we're going to receive testimony on allegation 1 from the Department of Correction. Mr. Osborne, would you give us testimony on allegation number 1, sir?
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. On October 10, 2017, CCO Radigan received a phone call from an offender stating he had an altercation with Nicholas Larson on October 3rd, 2017. CCO Rowdy directed the defender to be specific and to tell the truth. The defender stated that on October 3rd, 2017, at nighttime, after drinking alcohol with Nicholas Larson, who was currently on probation, things got out of hand when they discussed a relationship with Catherine Brittany Elfin. According to the offender's statement, he did not throw the first punch. He protected himself and pushed Mr. Larson to the ground and left the apartment to avoid further issues. He believes Larson and Elvin called the police after he left the residence. CC Wright verbally directed the offender to report to task on October 10th, 2017, and then to report in person to the Northeast Parole Office on October 11th, 2017 at 1100 hours. On October 10th, 2017, Ms. Elson contacted CC Reddy stating that she did not see the offender hitting Mr. Larson. Subsequently, CC Reddy asked her if she lied to the police officer because in the police report, she mentioned in her statement that she witnessed the offender striking Mr. Larson twice in the face. And Ms. Elson stayed quiet and hung up the phone. CCO Radigan was able to verify with Phoenix PD that on October 3rd, 2017, at approximately 23:50 hours, Marshall Thompson, offender, committed assault when he struck Nicholas Larson in the face with a closed-handed punch, leaving a cut on his chin underneath his lip following a disagreement about a female. The offender struck Mr. Larson again a few minutes later with a closed fist, left and right punch to the right side of his mouth, and left jaw, resulting in cuts to the inside of Mr. Larson's lips. This incident was witnessed by Mr. Larson's girlfriend and the offender's ex-girlfriend, Catherine Brittany Elfin, inside her apartment located at 777 West McDowell Road, number B2004, Phoenix, Arizona 85035. After the incident, Ms. Elfin stated the offender left the apartment with her car keys. Ms. Elfin said she locked the offender out of her apartment, but he kept knocking on the door and throwing rocks at her window. According to Police Officer Whitley, badge number 9250, and Officer Esquivel, badge number 10284, circulated the area in an attempt to locate the offender, but the offender was nowhere to be found. Follow-up. The offender was taken into custody at the Northeast Parole Office due to the offender's behavior. The offender was transported to ASPCL hampered by Transportation Parole Officer Turner and Parole Officer Radigan with no issues. Take warrant
2017 W2463
was issued.
Okay, well, thank you so very much, Mr. Osborne. Mr. Thompson, you indicated that allegation number one that was just read by the Honorable Mr. Osborne is false. So why is it false, sir?
Sir, the investigation did take place that night, and what I did tell Officer Radke was true. I said that it was false for the allegation of me being a part of an assaultive behavior. That's absolutely false. There was the altercation at night, and so the night question, I go over there to pick up myself.
Okay, now you're going to have an opportunity to explain everything if we go into phase two. Right now, we just want to determine why it's false, sir.
Okay, it's false because all I was doing was protecting myself.
Okay, sir.
When I held the guy down, I told him to calm down, When I let him get up, I went to the kitchen counter and grabbed my keys, and as I was walking out the door, he attacked me again.
So you maintain that it's false because you maintain that that was not physically assaultive behavior, that did not take place. That's the reason you're saying that it's false, sir?
Because I was assaulted and I got into physical altercation, but I did not assault anybody.
Okay, sir. Okay, board members, any board members have any questions about allegation number one, whether it is false, because that's what Mr. Thompson has stated, that it is false. Any discussion by any board member? Any questions by any board members? Hearing none. I'm going to move the hearing forward at this time, and the way that I'm going to move the hearing forward, this only pertains to phase one of the hearing. And I am, as it relates to allegation number two, I'm going to find the move that he's in violation, Mr. Thompson is in violation because he admitted it as it relates to allegation number two. As it relates to allegation number one, my motion will be based upon information contained in warrant number 2017W3463, as well as testimony coming from the Department of corrections, and the motion that I'm going to make at this time is to find that Mr. Thompson violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he was delinquent, that he had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. By the unanimous determination of the board, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. And that's just phase one. Now, we're going into phase two. But give me one moment. Let me get this paperwork in order, and then we will be ready to move into phase two. And in phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on a community supervision. And we will also hear from those from the others who are in the room as well. So at this time, I will ask the Honorable Mr. Osmond if he would provide us with testimony or some background information on Mr. Thompson at this time. Mr. Osborne, background information on Mr. Thompson, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Thompson was released from DOC custody on September 22nd, 2017. He was arrested on October 11th, 2017 in the Northeastern Parole Office on a tech violation and returned back to custody that same day with 0 scan days, with a community supervision ended of February 23rd of 2019. Current conviction, 2009, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months, and 2009, aggravated assault, 10 years. Prior convictions, 2000, armed robbery, 5 years, 2005, promoting prison contraband, 4 years, 2005, deadly assault by a prisoner, 3 years, 4 months, 2005, aggravated assault, 9 months, and 2005, promoting prison contraband, 9 months. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SCG endgame information noted. Inmate Thompson self-admitted to SSU that he's a member of the AZ Warskins. Prior term of supervision, 2007, TIS arrested on new charges of reach CSE prior to seeing the BOEC. He has a significant disciplinary history with multiple threats of violence and fighting noted. Other arrests, 1996, unlawful use of means of transportation, AZ juvenile probation. 1996, burglary, third degree, AZ juvenile probation. 1996, arson of occupied jail or person, AZ juvenile probation. 1996, shoplifting, AZ juvenile probation. And 1997, burglary, third degree, AZ juvenile probation. He has a community risk score of G7B9. I do have staff to charge email attached from Senior Officer Tim Allen dated Wednesday, November 29th of 2017. According to the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, there are no charges pending at this time. The offender was arrested in office due to admitted physically assaulted behavior.
So no charges are pending at this time?
No.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Whitley, on the phone, would you just keep the noise down just a little bit, because we're recording and we keep hearing some noise on the phone, so if you could just keep it down, we'd certainly appreciate it. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, we do take note that when you were released, you were to reside at 77774 West McDowell in Phoenix. Did you remain there throughout the period that you were out, sir?
No, sir. About a week into it, Officer Radke transferred my parole to Cass Grant with Mr. Reefer at 10330 Pasadena, Cass Grant, Arizona.
Okay, and he did approve your residing there, so that is correct. Okay. Were you employed while you were out, sir? While you were on release?
Yes, sir.
Where were you employed? Go ahead, sir.
Excuse me?
No, I was just waiting. Where were you employed?
Oh, at the Channel Dragon Tattoo Studio in Tucson, Arizona. And as well at Retro Hair Studio.
Okay. And you were referred to CHC classes for anger management, but you did not complete the classes. Why you didn't complete the classes at CHC, the CHC classes, sir?
The first scheduled appointment, Ms. Carroll called me, and she had to reschedule because she had personal matters she had to attend to, so we rescheduled for the following week, of which, between that time and from the time she let me go to the date of my first class, my parole officer had transferred me to Cass Bend, and I asked him if he wanted me to go ahead and attend that class. Anyways, and he told me don't worry about it because when I go to the new county, that they're going to start me on their own set of classes that I'll no longer be attending the ones in Maricopa County. So he advised me not to attend my first class.
And I do take note that you did have at least two UAs, one on September 22nd was negative, and the one on October the 10th, it was positive for alcohol, ETG. Well, why did you decide to use some alcohol, sir?
There's no excuse. In particular, the time that I got the dirty way, I took off the phone with Ronnie and I knew I was coming back to prison, and a friend of mine took me to lunch, and I had a few beers at lunch, and I went and reported to task right after we finished lunch. Just kind of last lunch. And
okay, now what was your relationship with Mr. Lawson, sir? What was that relationship?
It's complicated. Me and Ms. Lawson were together for 6 years, for the last 6 years. And we had plans and goals and dreams, and the day before I got released, I talked to her on the phone, and she told me that she had been in a relationship with Mr. Larson, and that he was living at the house where I was supposed to go to. And up until that time, I never heard about his name or anything about it. And so we talked on the phone, and we're actively working out our problems and going to try to make things work. So that night she asked him to leave the residence, and she came to pick me up from prison the next day, and I went home. And so the only relationship I've had with the only contact I've ever had with Mr. Larson is the night in question. About a week into my release, I asked Mr. Raggedy, my parole officer, to transfer me to Casa Grande because I had decided that I wasn't going to be able to work through those problems with her any longer, and it was becoming a toxic environment. Wasn't conducive for success on my part. It was becoming overwhelming and too much on my plate, so I needed to remove myself from that environment. And so I asked him to transfer my parole, which he did. On Monday, I moved out to Casa Grande, and I didn't have a vehicle, so I couldn't go get all. I couldn't get all of my stuff. But the only interaction I had with Mr. Larson was the night I went to go pick up my things.
I guess one of the questions that I'm asking is, did you know that he was on probation at the time, sir?
Oh yeah, I'm aware of his situation. Yeah, he had been to prison prior, and he was on probation at that time. That's why I didn't. After the altercation, when I left with my things, him and Brittany both followed me out of the apartment, begging me not to call the cops, so that he didn't get in trouble. Please, Marshal, don't call the cops. And coming from doing prison time and living the life I had for the last 20 years, it's not in me to try to send somebody back or something. I had no intentions of calling the cops, so I assured them, don't worry about it, I'm not going to call the cops. I'm just leaving. I removed myself from the situation. And Come to find out, I didn't even find out till 5 days later when they called me. They advised me that they had called the cops that night. And Nick told me he called the cops because he was worried that I was going to call the cops. So instead of him getting in trouble and go to jail, he called the cops on me.
Okay, so let me ask this now, as it relates to your, as you said, the whole relationship was kind of complicated, involving all of you. Where does the relationship stand now with you and your fiance or former fiance? Where's that relationship at, man? Is that still?
Well, sir, on the day I moved out, the day I asked, so Sunday night, me and her, I decided I was leaving. It wasn't something I wanted to be a part of, because I'm determined to put myself in the best situation possible to try to be something different than what I've been my whole life. I thought getting out to her was going to be that situation that could support us in that environment, and it wasn't. But I have family, I have friends, I've got a great support system, people who love me and will go to the moon and back to try to help me be a better person and help me succeed in life. And so I woke up with her on Sunday night, and Monday morning I asked Radicky to transfer my parole, and I moved out. Monday, as soon as I left the parole office, Radicky told me I could go ahead and go to Casa Grande, and I left that day. And I guess 2 days later, her and Nick got back together because I made it clear I wasn't going to, I didn't want to be a part of that relationship. So her and Nick got back together. I guess the day that I went up there to retrieve my things, either that day or the day before, they had gotten back together. But I have no intentions of being anywhere in Phoenix, contacting her, there was a lot of betrayal, a lot of heartbreak that I suffered up. And then to be sitting in here begging you guys to please understand and I'm sitting in prison for not a choice that I made. Because going into there that night to pick up my things, in hindsight, I shouldn't have said, you know what, not while he's there, or I figured I can control my actions so there's nothing that can happen. I don't have the life experience to know that sometimes it's beyond what you can control. I knew I was going to compose myself and conduct myself like I should, and I got hit in the mouth. I got hit in the nose.
Okay, so let me ask one other question. So, now, maybe you've already answered this and I just didn't focus on it. Why did you move up to Casa Grande? Did you have friends, relatives up there? Why did you decide to live there, sir?
Because that's where my family and my friends are at. I knew I had work in that area, and I wanted to get as far away removed from the situation there in Phoenix. I was heartbroken. I was devastated. I needed family to help pick me back up. And I mean,
so when you say family, who's up there? Your mother, father, sisters, brothers? Who lives up in Casa Grande?
Out there. Excuse me.
Who lives in Casa Grande? Your family.
I've got my sisters out there. My nieces are out there. My cousins are out there. I've got lifetime friends that the reefers that are sitting there in the courtroom today. They might as well be family to me. I didn't grow up having a great family. Their family took me in, and his children call me Uncle Marshall, and I mean, I consider them family as well. I've got a great support system in that direction, Casa Grande and in the Tucson area, and so I made the choice to leave a situation that I wasn't certain of, that I wanted to put myself in the best possible chance to succeed. I don't want this for my life. I don't want to be where I've been.
Okay, now, before I go further, I'm going to give other board members an opportunity to ask you questions. Board members, questions for Mr. Thompson at this time. Yes, the Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Mr. Thompson, other than alcohol, do you use any drugs?
No, ma'am.
Just alcohol?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
Are you asking currently?
Yeah, ever. Actually, ever.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yeah, yes, ma'am. In the past, I've used.
And what have you used?
I've smoked marijuana, I've done methamphetamines, and heroin.
Okay, and when's the last time you used meth? About?
I want to say 2015.
Okay, and what about heroin?
Same time.
Okay, around the same time, right?
Yeah, okay. I relapsed for about a year into while I was in prison.
Okay. But since then, it's just been alcohol since then?
Yes.
All right, thank you, Dr. Wright.
Okay, thank you so very much. Any further questions by board members? No questions at this. Let me get some information from Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne, sir.
Yes, sir, I'd just like to note that for the conditions attached, that they did not use it as a violation. And he stated he knew the gentleman was on probation. Condition number 8, which was signed on 9/22/17, states that he would not have any contact with anyone under the jurisdiction of community corrections or probation. Even though they did not put out the violation, it was against his condition.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much for calling that to our attention. Okay, since there are no further questions from board members, we have two persons here in the room, and which one of the both of you plan to speak?
Yes.
Okay, who want to speak first? Please come forward, sir. And please state your name, sir.
I'm Justin Reefer.
And remember that you're still on the oath, sir. So what do you want to tell the board?
That he's loved. He's a family friend going back ages. Something that you guys don't know that's not on those papers is that he could walk into a room anywhere and he will be remembered. The jobs that he got were connections, past connections from years ago. And the guy from Enchanted Dragon, that's a very successful tattoo shop. He's got multiple shops. It's not lightweight. The guy hired him on the spot. He's loved, set him up. He's loved by my whole family. Marshall's not blood related, but you wouldn't know it. My mother cares for him, my fiance, my other brothers and sisters. They're not here today, but I'm here, and he does have. He would be a neighbor that you would want, despite what he looks like on paper, despite how things may seem, what tattoos represent, but he's loved. My heart goes out for him because that is total heartbreak, and it is hard to deal with what he got blindsided with upon getting out. He came to live with us. He's got a future with us. He's got a future on his own. He's got a bright future. It's not an if. He's got one. So we're just trying to get on with it. It has been a long, long time coming. He had his prior prison stint, got out for a few years. For the majority of that time, he run around with me and my family, friends. He was very successful while out before, tattooing, got the house, got the fiance, got custody of, you know, of his kid coming back. You know, everything was going good, and so, you know, sometimes things are just out of our control. Sometimes circumstances jump in our lap that on a split second we don't do what's best. And the trail that followed us from before kind of catches up to us. So, but it also, that his trail is also good. We're following him. We're here. We love him.
Okay, let me see if board members might have any questions for you, sir. Questions, board members, and honorable Mr. Johnson.
So you're familiar with the situation with his fiance was created this, so do you think that there seems to be a volatile situation, so?
Oh, of course. If when you get out of prison and you, or in any situation, any man that has a heart and loves anyone, and they've been living a lie, you know, if she was carrying on a relationship outside of his knowing, and to come home to that, to think that you're coming home to a happy home and a good, bright future, and then for that information to be laid on your lap, so I don't think that's a healthy situation at all.
So do you think that he could move past that?
Oh, I definitely know he could move past that, and especially if he has nothing to do with her, if she keeps it going with that Mr. Lawson, and they keep going on about them all the way, and we keep doing our family thing, I think, I don't see why he would need to go back to her. I don't see why he would.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Any further questions? There's no further questions. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Ma'am, would you said you wanted to give testimony as well? Would you state your name for the record, please, ma'am?
Julie Nance.
And remember that you're still on the oath, and what do you want to tell the board this afternoon?
On the night in question, I was there. I was the one that provided Marshall a ride up to go get his things. I did see kind of what took place there. We didn't go there to start trouble. We went to go get his stuff, and Nick was drinking already, and he wanted to get loud and crazy towards the end of what we were, loading up the car and everything else.
Who was that one to get?
Excuse me?
Who was that drinking?
Brittany's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Go ahead. Excuse me for interrupting.
That's fine. I'm sorry. He wanted to get kind of loud and discuss openly the relationship that I guess the three were having and where they stood, and we were trying to leave before problems started, because he just kept on and on with what was going on. He was mad about being kicked out of the house and that she was going to be with him, and I guess he wanted to put the grudge on it. And
so let me just say, who was mad about getting kicked out of the house?
Nick. He was asked to leave when Marshall was coming home.
Okay.
And he came at Marshall and he hit him. And everyone's just kind of screaming to stop, as well, me and Brittany both were. Nick had hit Marshall, and I'm trying to pull him away. I'm trying to pull Nick off of him, because Nick is already drunk, and I didn't want Marshall to get in more trouble, because I already knew that it could be a big problem if it continued. And so, we're trying to hurry up and leave him, telling Marshall, let's go. And we're trying to walk out the door, and Nick comes at him again and hits him. And they're kind of wrestling around and stuff. And Nick hit him again. And everything's just kind of happened all at once, going kind of crazy. And by the time we finally got out of the house, Marshall was bleeding. He had been hit a couple times. I know that he hit Nick after Nick had hit him, striking him away from him. We're trying to leave, and as we're walking out, they come running out not to call the police, because I guess Nick was on probation or whatever it was. I don't know Nick's background. We just kind of left it at that. We're walking away. We didn't know anything after that. We drove back to town, and I took him back to Justin's house. It's kind of, we didn't know any of that was going to happen when we went there. We just went to go get his things, and I don't know, we didn't expect none of that. Basically.
And again, what is your name, ma'am?
Julie Nance.
Nance, N-A-N-C-E.
Yes, sir.
Now, you're not listed in this warrant, are you?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so. That's the reason I was asking. But you were there when the fight or whatever you want wants to call it. You was there when it took place there at that house or apartment or whatever it was.
Yes.
So you carried Mr. Thompson, you were with Mr. Thompson to go get his goods from that house or from that residence rather, and that's why you were there assisting.
Yes.
Further questions by board members for Ms. Nance? We don't have any further questions. Thank you so very much. Thanks for coming today. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Whittam on the phone.
Yes, sir.
Would you state your full name for the record, sir?
Yes, my name is Richard Mack Whittam.
And you remember that you're on the oath as well, and what do you want to share with the board this afternoon, sir?
I would like to share that after Mr. Thompson had gotten in this situation, I was in direct contact with Mr. Larson and Ms. Elsman, and also Detective Santos, that was in charge of this case. I've been in direct contact speaking to them hand in hand. Nick Larson explained to me the whole situation of what went down, and that he'd been drinking, and he went at Marshall because he was upset that that Ms. Eflin was trying to choose him over him, and he was upset, so he kind of reacted on it and went at Marshall. When I spoke to him, he said that he wishes to not pursue anything further with this. He doesn't want to get involved. He's on probation himself. He just wants to move forward with his life. With that being said, I've contacted Detective Santos, that was in charge of this, and he said that he spoke directly with Mr. Larson, and he stated to him he wished to not pursue any charges or do anything, because he said that he was the aggressor in this situation, and he didn't want to make things worse for Mr. Thompson because it was his fault, and he and him and Ms. Eflin both wrote a statement that I faxed up to you guys at the Clemson some work, and you guys should have a copy of those statements for Mr. Larson and also Ms. Eflin about them not wanting to pursue anything. And with that being said, Mr. Thompson, yes, does have a job here in Tucson at Enchanted Dragon Tattoo. He also has a job at Retro Hair Studio. My wife and I own this salon. It's a very prospering salon, and we could actually use a little extra help with some of the stuff, the day-to-day activities of answering the phones and helping out around the shop and building the house. So with that being said, Mr. Thompson was a very big asset for us while he was out. He was helping us quite a bit with that. We got him involved in the church because he would like to transfer his parole down to Tucson. And with that being said, we got him involved in a church, and he also signed up where he went. He got himself baptized while he was out. He also got involved in the church. They offer, it's a very large church on very nice side of town, and they offer counseling and men's group and AA and different things like that that Mr. Thompson had signed up for. And when he decided that he needed to go see his parole officer, and he's the one that contacted his parole officer and let him know that he had police contact. So it's not like they were waiting for him to find out. They had no idea that there was police contact, and Mr. Thompson informed them that he had police contact. And then at that point, they asked him to come in, and Mr. Thompson, I mean, anyone in Mr. Thompson's situation, most people probably would have taken off and split. Mr. Thompson felt that it was most important because of the changes he wants to make in his life to move forward, so he decided to go and see his parole officer, talk to his parole officer, let him know what happened.
Sir, we appreciate all that you're telling the board, but let's just ask you a few questions now. How did you get to know Mr. Thompson in the first place? How did you and your wife become acquainted with Mr. Thompson?
He is related to my wife. It's her cousin.
Okay.
They've known each other since they were babies.
Okay.
I've known all about Mr. Thompson through our relationship. I've known my wife for almost 8 years now total. And Mr. Thompson's always been a part of my life as far as phone conversation, writing, and talking to him. And when we spoke to him, and he decided, I sat on top of Mr. Thompson in depth about this young lady, and after the choices and the situation that she brought him home to, that he felt that this isn't a situation he needs to be part of, he needs to move forward, and nobody like that's on his side to help him be successful, right?
Okay, we,
so because of that, he's
okay, I think we understand. Thank you so very much.
Yes,
and just for the record, we do have the letters that you referred to, as well as certificates that also that you that was provided. So thank you so very much. Board members, are there any questions for Mr. The Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson has some questions for you, sir.
Sir, how did you come across these two letters from Mr. Larson?
They were given to me by, I drove up to, up here and met Mr. Larson and Ms. Osler up here in Phoenix, and they hand-delivered them to me. We were sitting there having lunch, discussing the situation, and they said they want to move forward. So I didn't have his paper, so they wrote it on, one was like a napkin, you know, paper, like a regular small little piece of paper. The other one was just another little scrap paper that we had. And they both wrote them, and I told them, I tried to get him to go to the bank with me to get him notarized, but he had to get back because his probation officer wanted to talk to him and wanted him to get back. So they were there kind of pressed for time. So we left. But I've definitely been in contact with them quite a bit about this situation. They don't want to do anything. Everybody wants to move forward with their life. Mr. Thompson wants to move on with his, Mr. Larson, and Ms. Eflin want to all move forward with their lives, and everyone not have anything to do with each other, but just move on. Try to get past this situation.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay, and I'm not going to pursue this because it's not something that this board would pursue at any rate. But I think that, you know, Ms. Eflin, however her name is pronounced, you know, she issued some conflicting statements even to a police officer. And, you know, that does not speak well when one give false information to a law enforcement officer. And that's quite evident based on what I read that she really... I question her credibility. Let me just leave you that, and I won't say anything else about it because of that situation. You never give Ms. false information to a law enforcement officer, but she...
Yes, sir, I totally understand. My father is a police officer down here in Tucson. He just retired 30 years, and my uncle was a judge.
Okay.
So I'm very familiar with the law, and I definitely live by it.
Now, I wasn't saying that for you. I was saying that for her, although she's not here, she's not the part of this hearing, but when one's on the oath, that's a different situation. Board members, any further questions at this time? Sir, no further questions for you at this time. You feel free to stay on the phone because the board will be making this decision in a very short period of time, so you can feel free to stay on the phone, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Board members, any further questions for Mr. Thompson? Hearing no further questions? Yes, the Honorable Mr. Johnson has some further questions, Mr. Thompson.
So, Mr. Thompson, I have a little bit of concern. I just, this situation seems to be something that got out of control. It may not have been your fault, but this is a situation that's still occurring. So, I'm wondering how you're going to deal with it, because you do have a history of violent behavior, sir. Is there any of that change? How are you going to deal with that situation? Are you?
Over the last 2 years, I've been looking. After 17 years in this place, a person tends to lose some of his humanity, you know? I was angry growing up, and then I came in here and it just got worse because you lose your sense of kindness and caring. And, over the last 2 years, I thought I was in a good, steady, supportive relationship, and I started working on myself, taking all the classes in here I could take them serious. I must have read 15, 20 self-help books and trying to put those things into practice to learn coping skills, to try to communicate, to learn how to control. Control myself to I better understood why I was the way I was and I started working on myself, you know, and I thought I had a pretty good grasp on things when I left. I no longer have the anger problems. I'm goal oriented. I'm self-aware. I think about what I want to do going forward and I think about how to get there and how to do these things. And I try. I want to be an active participant in the success of my life. It's the only way things are going to work. I can control what I do. I need to get better at learning how to control what environment I put myself into. Because this is a lesson that even though I'm determined not to do anything and treat a situation accordingly and be as mature and go into a situation and handle it the best I can, I now know that I can't guarantee what someone else is going to do. And look where I'm sitting now because of no, I don't want to say no fault of my own. I don't want to say that. I should have called the cops. I could have just not defended myself, or I should have at least called the cops on him. But so I'm in the wrong somewhat there. I know I made bad choices, but I didn't commit a crime. And you know, I need to learn how to put myself in better situations and by surrounding myself with good people. I expect to do good things. And you know, after I left and went to Casa Grande, put myself in a better situation. That whole first week, I didn't focus anything on myself. I was trying to work on a relationship and trying to be understanding and caring and trying to be supportive. And I'm still being taken advantage of and lied to. And so I removed myself from the situation. That's not something I would have ever done. I would have been demonstrative and not knowing how to deal with it, but I removed myself from the situation because I knew it wasn't going to be good. I made that choice. I broke up with her and I moved on. I left because it wasn't going to be good for me. And that's something that I would never be able to do before.
Thank you, Mr.
I put myself in a better position.
Hello, sir.
And I went down there. I came back from the church. I got baptized. And
no, sir, not in this time.
I saw my own counselor. I was set up with clinical counseling sessions Tuesday and Thursday at 1 o'clock. I sought that out myself because these are things that I want to do to... I know I got problems. I know I do, but I'm determined. I know what I have to do to fix those things, and that's get help. Use the support systems I've got around me, my family, my friends. Rely on them. Lean on those guys. The church, it's a wonderful church, man. They offer peer mentors, which I was going to do. I signed up for that. I signed up for Bible study classes. Like I said, I went and sought out my own clinical counseling.
Okay, Mr. Thompson.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, I think you've answered Mr. Johnson's questions. Any further questions for Mr. Thompson? Okay, now I'm going to let you, the gentleman on the phone, Mr. Willem, I'm going to let you make 1 minute statement and then we're going to move on, sir. So what else do you want to tell the board? Remember, you're still on the oath, sir. What is your, state your name again, sir.
My name is Richard Baplissum.
Okay, what else do you want to say for 1 minute only?
Yes, sir. What I wanted to say is that situation that Mr. Thompson was going home to was a disaster from the beginning. He walked into a blind situation, did not know what he was going into. If given the opportunity, we have things in place for Mr. Thompson to succeed this time. We've got a counseling, we have alcohol treatment, anger management. We already have ready to go on standby. He's got a secure place to live. He's got 2 jobs, and we're looking to move forward. He went and got his license, so he's able to drive. So he's got all the tools to be successful.
Okay,
so
sir.
We will help him with that.
We understand, sir. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Thompson, we're coming towards the end of your hearing. This is your hearing. We do want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes its decision for today. But we're going to ask that you not repeat yourself or not repeat what others, your supporters have said, but anything else you want to tell the board at this time on your behalf, sir. The board is prepared to listen.
I want a chance to starting out from a successful spot, some beloved supportive position, to where I get my feet underneath me. That's all I need is a chance to get my feet underneath me. I'm determined. I'll do whatever it takes to jump through any, be a part of any program that you guys want me to be a part of, house arrest, anywhere, I don't care what it is. I will do anything to stay out of this place. I've spent 17 years of my life here, and I don't want to spend another day. And I swear I will do anything you guys ask of me and more. Not free, because that's what you guys are asking of me, or the parole department is asking of me. Because I don't want to be this. I don't want to be a convict the rest of my life. I want to be somebody that I can look back on and know that I had 20 years of good deeds done. I want to live the right way. I want a family. I want to be a part of a church and do things good for the community. I've done enough bad in my life. I want to do something good. I'm going to work every day for the rest of my life, whether you guys release me or not, to be better, trying to better myself. And over the last few years, when I started down that path, I've accomplished things within myself that I never would have ever expected and never even tried. And once I started trying to change, it was the hardest thing in my life that I've ever done, to try to change something that you've always been. And it feels wrong. You know in your brain it's right, but it feels wrong because you're going against everything you've always ever been. But it gets easier with time to practice. And soon it starts feeling right. And I became proud of myself for the changes that I made. And the lengths that from where I came to where I ended up. Just being a better human, being able to communicate and just understanding myself and setting goals and figuring out how to go achieve those goals and seeking out help for myself to try to better myself.
Okay, please sum it up, sir.
I'll do whatever I have to do to be successful. You guys, all the resources that are at my disposal, to church, to family and friends, I promise you, I'm going to do everything I can.
Okay, sir, we hear you. Okay, at this time the board is going into discussion. We're going to ask that you remain quiet while the board is in discussion. We're going to ask that all others present and on the phone remain quiet as well, as the board will now go into discussion. Following this discussion, the board will make a decision whether to revoke Mr. Thompson's community supervision or whether to continue him on community supervision. As always, we operate under the open meeting law in the state of Arizona. Therefore, this will be the first time that the four of us will have an opportunity to discuss this, and we do it in public. We do not go behind closed doors. At this time, the board is in discussion. This is a very unfortunate, complicated situation that the board is being asked to get involved in. I think that as it relates to the fence itself, I think that what happened, I think that we all can see what and read what's in the warrant and what has been provided to the board today. I think there are a few concerns that I'm going to just bring up, and then I will listen to other board members, the direction that the board should take as it relates to Mr. Thompson. I think that one of the areas is the fact that Mr. Thompson did have contact with law enforcement, although it's been stated by one of his supporters that he reported this to his parole officer. The other one is that he did have contact with Mr. Lawson. Mr. Lawson, as has already been stated by Mr. Osborne, and that's one reason that I had asked that question earlier, because I was going to bring it out at any rate, according to number 8, under the conditions of supervision, he was to have no contact at all with anyone who was on parole or probation, and probation is used in condition number 8, and he did have contact with Mr. Lawson. The family situation, the domestic situation itself, I don't know what was going on between the three of these three individuals, Mr. Thompson, Mr. Lawson, and the fiance. This was something that was going on. It was a very unfortunate situation, but although Mr. Thompson walked into it, he has to take responsibility for it, because he did walk into it. And we admit that he had been incarcerated those in the low many years. He expected to get out and to have a relationship with his fiance, and he walked into a domestic situation where his fiance had found another person, and he just walked into it. But it's unfortunate that they came together, that he had to meet Mr. Lawson. because it was my understanding from his testimony that he was not supposed, initially she had put Mr. Lawson out, but somehow they eventually came in contact with each other, which was a very unfortunate situation. I think that, you know, from a technical standpoint, this is an unfortunate situation. I know that he has a long time before he would be eligible to be released, but sometimes we have to suffer the consequences of our life, what life brings on us. But at this time, I'm prepared to listen to other board members who might see things quite different than I see, and I'm prepared to keep an open mind. Anyone want the Honorable Mr. Kalanis?
Thank you, Mr. Board Chairman. This is a challenging case in as much that we're dealing with an individual with a high history of violence, high rating of violence, that walked into a situation that involved an altercation. Now, I'm not going to make any allegations against Mr. Thompson. I wasn't there. It sounds like that individuals backed away from the original charges, and I want to be fair-minded. Certainly, as one voting board member, I tried to find positivity and encouragement. We certainly want to see people succeed in their community supervision or parole, but I'm not comfortable with the totality of this scenario. I feel like there's holes in this story. And I'm open to the collective wisdom of my peers, but it's kind of discomforting.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Kalanis. Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse.
Sure. Thank you, Dr. Wright. I do see that Mr. Thompson has a lot of community support. It seems like both in Casa Grande and in Tucson, from an employer and also a church and friends who are here. So that definitely, you know, works in his favor. He did, however, use alcohol while he was in community supervision, which is a clear violation. So I'm kind of on the fence too.
Thank you so very much, Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse. Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Dr. Wright, I tell you, I really sympathize with Mr. Thompson. There is a letter in here from Ms. Elfie, which states that, I'm just going to read what the last paragraph of the letter says. It says, Nick later told me that he called police out of spite with intentions of sending him back to prison. I'm currently in a relationship with Nick, but will testify on Mr. Thompson's behalf if needed. And, I mean, that's a letter that's in the file that says that Nick called the police out of spite. There's also two letters in here. I don't know why there's two, but they're dated a couple of days apart, where Nick says that he doesn't want to press any charges, doesn't deny that this incident occurred. However, we heard testimony from the young lady who said that she took Mr. Thompson over there to pick up his belongings at the time that she was taking him over there. Nick was not supposed to be there. And they didn't know that he was there. When they got there, he was there, and it kind of created this situation. It seems as though Mr. Thompson, although he does have a history of violence, was trying to avoid it. I do give him credit, you know, for being honest, because after the incident occurred, he didn't try to abscond or do anything. He still contacted his PO and still reported as his PO asked him to do. So it's not a situation where he did it, he absconded, and he tried to do it. He then removed himself from the situation. But I thought he made a really profound statement when he said that he just wants the opportunity to come out and be in a stable situation. This was a situation that was explosive and unstable from the time that he got out, and he was not expecting that type of situation. That's why I wanted to know how he would deal with it. But he's, you know, says that in the last couple of years, he's gone to great extreme to change and handle things differently than what he did before with the violence acting. He's been baptized. He's gone to church. There's a letter in here attached from the church where he's been baptized. He removed himself from the situation to go to Casa Grande, where he wouldn't be in this situation, to stay out of it. He did go to the house, and he didn't go by himself. He did take a witness or someone there with him when he did go to the house by taking the young lady who spoke in here before. So I think, you know, Mr. Thompson deserves, you know, an opportunity to at least try to get a fair shake. He's done. He said, and I don't know what his prison record over the last 2 years was, but he said over the last couple of years he's worked really, really hard and getting his life together, thinking that he had a stable relationship, only to find out when he gets out that the relationship's unstable. And you can almost tell it's unstable because you have a letter from the lady saying that she would testify on his behalf, and then you also have a letter in here that says that, you know, the other victim no longer wants to testify. I think Mr. Marshall's not totally, Mr. Thompson, I mean, is not totally clear. You know, I'm sure he, you know, has some words or some participation as a man involved in that situation. But I'm certainly in favor of giving him the chance and opportunity to try to start out at least on a stable situation or a level playing field. And I think that, you know, if he's sincere, and he sounds to be sincere about what he does have, you know, good friends and family support that he can depend on to try to help him make it through it. So I think based on all of that information and the testimony that we've had here today, along with the letters that we have that's involved in the situation, which all lean toward supporting Mr. Thompson, I'm supportive of him continuing on his community supervision.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Johnson. Further discussion by board members. We hear no further discussion by board members. Therefore, based upon the discussion, I'm going to request that Mr. Johnson would make a motion.
I am going to make a motion, sir, that Mr. Thompson be continued on community supervision with some special conditions. One of the conditions would be that his placement would be at the parole officer's discretion. That must enter and successfully complete treatment programs that involve substance abuse, mental health treatment, or kindness-based intervention. And I'd say that that would be a treatment program would be at his parole officer's discretion. And then also to add in there, because he's not to be drinking, but the PO is to start revocation process upon his first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA. And also that he's to have no contact with the victim on the current charge and or violation discretion of his parole office, referring to Mr. That's his name, right? Mr. Nicholson?
Larson.
That would be my motion.
I'll say.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse. I usually vote last, but I'm not going to vote last on this one. I'm just going ahead and say that I disagree.
I'm going to agree, but this is rare that I make this sort of statement on record. I agree with reservations. I'm making this vote for someone with a swastika tattoo. So I hope he understands the fairness that's coming from this board right now, and I hope that he takes full opportunity of this chance that's been being given to him.
Thank you.
By a vote of three agreeing, one disagreeing, he will be continued on community supervision with the same conditions and amended conditions. And amended conditions would be based upon number two, placement at parole officer's discretion, recommended placement, as I understood it from Mr. Johnson, that would be substance abuse as well as, well, substance abuse.
Cognitive-based intervention.
Cognitive-based intervention.
And that treatment program would be at the parole officer's discretion.
Okay, at the parole officer's discretion. Okay, and number six is to start revocation process upon the first positive diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, unexcused UA. Can you live with those conditions, Mr. Thompson?
Absolutely.
Okay, remember also, which is not stated here, but you can have zero contact with Mr. Lawson or with your previous girlfriend because this is in the law. This is, although it was, you were not found guilty, but you have zero contact. If you have any contact with either one of them, you're right back in, sir.
Got you.
Okay, well, this will end your hearing. Thank you so much for your participation. Thank you so very much for being here. Thank you, Mr. Rohan, for being on the phone, sir.
Could you put the CO3 back on?
Okay.
Yes, sir. How many more do you have? You have one more for us, right?
Hello?
Hello, CO3. Do you have one more for us?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you bring him in whenever you, at your will and pleasure, sir?
All right.
Thank you.
I'll be in right now.
Thank you so very much.
So that concludes this hearing at this time.
Thank you, Justin. You guys do have a tough job. I
would.
Yes. That, I can see the frustration if I was here. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, sir. What is your name, sir?
Tony Joseph Hallis.
Okay, who has Mr. Hallis?
I have him.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay, sir, could you please state your name and your ABC number for us for the record?
Tony Joseph Hallis, 236-923.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today, sir. To my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Right next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. And right here to my immediate right, excuse me, is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Dr. Wright is the chair of the board. Oh, excuse me, sir. My name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel chair today, sir. Also in the room with us today, sir, is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office.
Hello.
Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board hearing today. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
I believe so. I remember signing one in county, and I waived all the rights because I knew all the stuff I did. I wasn't going to argue.
Okay, sir. So this form was signed on November 16th of 2017, sir. Is that okay. The form you signed?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So on that form, it also notified you of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your licensed attorney at your own expense, sir. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today?
I'm representing myself today, sir.
Okay, sir. At this time, excuse me. Sir, at this time I'd like to swear you and Mr. Osborne in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Sir, your hearing will be Mr. Osborne?
Yes, I do, sir.
Your hearing today, your hearing, sir, will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated, sir. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated, sir. You have four allegations listed on your warrant, Mr. Hollis.
I'm going to read those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegations are either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
They're all true. I had a bad situation happen, and I handled it poorly.
Okay.
I'm not arguing any of them. They're all true.
All right. Well, Mr. Hollis, I just, for a matter of procedural purposes, let me read them to you.
Okay.
And then you can tell me which one, if it's true or false, okay?
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. But thank you for your honesty, sir. I appreciate that. Okay, sir, it says in allegation number one that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about June 6, 2017, per the task TCMS lab report dated June 14, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
True, sir.
Okay. Sir, your allegation number 2 states you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7 as demonstrated by your use of alcohol per your breathalyzer on or about June 28, 2017 per V-rate notification report dated June 28, 2017. Is that true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay, sir, your third allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5 as demonstrated by your engagement in physical assaultive behavior on or about July 1st, 2017 at Green Bay Halfway House. Is that true or false, sir?
True, sir.
Okay, sir, and your fourth in violation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2 as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about July 6, 2017. As verbally directed on July 6, 2017, defendant's whereabouts are unknown, thus he's an absconder from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
True, sir.
Okay. Mr. Hollis, I'm looking at the form. I see that you're due to be released in about less than 10 days. On December 16th of this year, that you're due to be released. So at that time you're released, you won't be on any parole or on any community supervision, sir. I do want to ask you, sir, did you want to go ahead and go through this hearing, or do you just want to kill your nominee?
The only reason I'm going to state anything is I have a custody hearing for my daughter on the 12th of this month. Mm-hmm. And it would make all the difference if I was actually present at the custody hearing in person and not in custody of the Department of Corrections. Other than that, I mean, if I could get, you know, reinstated so I could be there because they're trying to take my daughter for me being in here.
Okay.
Other than that, sir, it's just 10 days.
Okay. Sir, that's certainly your decision. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and continue with your hearing at this time. Based on the admission of Mr. Hollis, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent, that he did violate the term and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company as he had been involved in some drugs and had been involved in some assaultive behavior.
Sir, agree.
Okay, so I'm just going to complete some paperwork real quick.
Okay.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase 2 of your hearing. During phase 2, sir, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. At this time, we're going to get some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we'll come back to you, Mr. Hollis, and get any information from you, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hollis was released from DOC custody on April 14th of 2017. He was arrested on September 7th of 2017 by the Phoenix Police Department on his common warrant and new felony charges of possession of dangerous drugs and a Phoenix warrant. He was returned back to our custody on October 5th of 2017 with 63 count days, with the community supervision ended of December 16th of 2017. Current conviction, 2013 aggravated DUI, 4 years, and 2013 drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2008 aggravated robbery, 2 years, 6 months. 2008 theft of means of transportation, 4 years, 6 months. And 2008 burglary, third degree, 3 years, 6 months. He's had 2 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4-4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is STGM gang information. Noted that inmate Hollis admitted at ACC Phoenix being a member of the criminal street gang AZ Plus Wanted. Prior term of supervision, 2012, TI's completion 7 months. He has a moderate disciplinary history, and since his return on November 8th of 2017, received a write-up for an assault on inmate. It says on the below date, approximate time, inmate Hollis Cody, ADC number 236923, was seen approaching another inmate on the blue yard in front of the housing unit and began punching inmate in the face and head with closed fists. When the other inmate fell to the ground, inmate Hollis continued punching while standing over the fallen inmate. Inmate Hollis was verbally placed on report by Coyle J. Rodriguez, badge number 2369, on November 8th of 2017, at approximately 15:10 hours. Other arrest, 2008, assault, Arizona misdemeanor conviction probation. He has a community risk score of G5V6, and I do have status of charges attached. From Senior Prosecutor Red Haggard, dated Wednesday, November 29th of 2017, states on 11/29/17, I contacted MCSO County Attorney, and they said the offender was sentenced on 10/4/17 with felony possession of drug paraphernalia. I did not see this mentioned in names, but it is on an email from the Senior Parole Officer.
So we don't have a new SCD, pardon me.
No, I don't have anything in our aims.
Okay.
I would maybe prefer to maybe ask Mr. Hollis if he knows what we're speaking about.
Thank you.
Am I supposed to speak?
So let me just go through some information real quick with you. You definitely will have the opportunity to speak, sir. So you were released on April 14th to 17th. To a residence at 4444 East Paradise Village, number 265. Whose residence was that, sir?
My father's.
Okay, you were at your father's. And then on June 5th of 17, you changed your address to 372 Knight North Chippewa Place?
Chippewa.
And that was in Chandler. Whose place was that?
My mother's.
Okay, and then it says that on June 23rd of 17, you went to the Beeberry Recovery House, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It doesn't show that you were working. Did you work during that period of time?
I was working as a welder with Agate Steel.
Okay. Well, yeah. So, sir, it shows that you were placed in task, and that while you were at task, it says that you had a UA on June of 2017,
yeah.
And it came back negative, and then on June 6th of 17, your urine release, it was positive. You had a positive UA again on May. You had a positive one May 24th, it was positive, and then April 25th, it was negative. So what, were you relapsing, or were you doing drugs part of the time? And
there was a lot of stuff going on with the custody with my daughter and my brother. There was a death in the family, and I handled it poorly. And then in June 12th, my fiance got killed, and that's when I basically completely just gave up, and that's why I'm back in here. I handled it all poorly. That's why I said I wasn't here. I'm not here to argue. I did what I did. It was I handled it immaturely, and Now I'm back here. The only reason I would want to get out right now is so I can try to be at the custody hearing for my daughter, so they don't take my daughter from me. Other than that, I did what I did. There's no arguing. All the stuff on there is true. That's why I didn't argue it.
Okay. So, sir, say that you were doing morphine and oxycodone. What drugs were you using?
I got an addiction with opiates.
Okay. And this incident that you had at V-Ray with the roommate, sir, what caused that?
He was stealing fruit items from me, and he blocked my path from the door. And the only, because he didn't want me to go tell the counselors that I caught him stealing, because he's had prior, I guess, problems stealing before.
Uh-huh.
And he blocked my path, so I grabbed him and moved him. And by their policy, physical contact like that with force is grounds for removal. So I got removed for that.
Okay, and since you've been back incarcerated, sir, you received another ticket for fighting?
Yeah. It's prison, and there's people here that don't like me too much that are trying to have harm done to me. And there was a situation that was arising, and instead of me waiting for it to happen to me, I acted like a child, and I was the aggressor.
Okay, so I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. So if there are no questions coming from the board, Mr. Hollis, we're going to go into discussion, but prior to going into discussion, sir, I want to see if there's any other information you'd like to present to the board before we go into discussion.
I just have the paperwork stating that December 12th of this year, I have a custody hearing that they're going to do on the telephone over my daughter with my in-laws, because since I'm in prison, they're trying to say that I abandoned my daughter, and if I got reinstated, I'd be able to be there in person for that custody hearing, and I'd have a better chance of keeping my daughter. Other than that, I have nothing else to say.
Okay, thank you, sir. The board is now going to go into discussion. So I'm going to ask you to remain on the line, however, to remain silent while the board's in discussion. So the board is now going into to discussion. I understand Mr. Hollis has a hearing coming up on the 12th that he would like to be present to go to that hearing for a custody hearing of his daughter. However, because of the assault that he has while he was in prison, as well as the opportunity that he had, and says that he absconded and was arrested by the police department for possession, along with possibly new charges. He's absconded for 63 days. That I don't see Mr. Hollis being suitable for community supervision at this time. However, it should also be noted that he is to be released on December 16th of this year. And even if he was granted community supervision, there's no guarantee that he would be out by the 12th when his hearing will be, because this is a matter of time before his paperwork and everything's processed. Now, I shouldn't say a matter of time, a matter of days before his paperwork and everything's processed. Mr. Osborne.
Yes, and just for a note, it does also in the notes, I researched more, pretty lengthy, there's also a felony hold by the county. So just for his information, he may get picked up at the gate.
Okay.
So just a minute.
Okay. So he has a felony hold on him from the county too, so even if he was released, he may possibly get picked up and go to the county jail at the gate. So I think it's best, and I understand him wanting to be out to have a hearing for his daughter. But I think it's going to be better that he remains in custody, that he does his hearing on the 12th, but also that he gets all of this put behind him, so that when he is released on the 16th, that he won't have any community supervision, he won't have to parole, that he would have to go to reference the Department of Corrections. However, according to the PO, he does have a hold on him by the Maricopa County, which I don't know what those are for, but he could possibly be picked up at the gate at that time. So I think it's going to be best for him to go ahead and complete this time and conduct his hearing on the 12th, and hopefully be able to continue to work with Child Protective Services or whoever he has his hearing with in order to get his child back. I think it's important to have a father role involved in their life. So that would be my motion, however I'm willing to listen to the board.
Agree.
Okay. Therefore, I am going to make the motion to revoke the community supervision. Mr. Hollis find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, had lapses about the lapse in criminal way, but confident in that he didn't get involved in assaultive inmate behavior, involved in assault since he's been back in prison with another inmate, as well as used drugs.
Second.
Agree.
Agree.
May I ask what the hold is for?
So let me just check this. He's looking to do some paperwork now. We don't actually know on the board, the parole officer's looking to see if Mr. Osborne is checking to see if he can see.
Right. I believe there is a dangerous drug violation that's pending with the county, and that's why they have a hold on him at this time.
Okay, there's a dangerous drug. He thinks it's a dangerous drug. Did you hear what he said? He thinks it's a dangerous drug violation that's pending with the county. Sir?
But I didn't have drugs.
Okay, that's, so we don't have any idea what that situation is, but that's the best answer that the parole officer can give you reference that situation at this time, sir. Mr. Hollis, thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.